Real Perspectives with LaTanya Moore airs every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. EST on Blog Talk Radio. Real Perspectives seeks real people with real issues for real solutions from real perspectives. The show features inspirational guests, powerful business minds, interviews with top-notch entertainers, and much more. Follow the show on Blog Talk or visit LaTanyaMoore.com for more information. Real Perspectives with LaTanya Moore. Real Talk Radio.
Hey, guys. It is your girl, LaTanya Moore, with Real Perspectives, and I am absolutely ecstatic about today's show. I'm going to be talking about economical living with two of the thought leaders in this area. We have Sarah Hathaway and Vanessa Canterbury. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello.
Awesome. So, Sarah, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Sarah Hathaway, and I grew up kind of a country girl out there just enjoying nature. And I got into, went through college, got my college degree in business, entered the business world, and decided, you know, it's not really, the shoe didn't really fit. I wasn't really finding myself in the business world. So I stepped aside from my business career, and I started publishing fictional novels to get people sparked on how fragile our society is and the things that we take for granted nowadays, how fragile that is, how quickly it could disintegrate, and then what will we do? And instead of facing mass panic, I would like us to be a little bit more prepared and ready to go for that. So that's kind of the aim of my fictional work, and I blend a lot of fact and fiction in my podcast, the Changing Earth podcast, and try to give people real strategies on how they can be ready today so that we can unite as Americans if something were to happen instead of being at each other's throats.
Awesome, awesome. And we certainly know that with, certainly with the climate right now, and there's definitely a lot of politics and a lot of polarizing, I definitely think what you're talking about is absolutely fabulous and it's certainly timely. And so, Vanessa, share with us who you are and what you do.
My name is Vanessa Canterbury, and I am from Chicago, Illinois. And what I do, I help people to be able to be prepared of just-in-case situations. And I had found my purpose after that door closed in corporate America, and I learned I have to be able to embrace the purpose, because we could find our purpose, but are you willing to embrace your purpose? And once I allow myself to be able to surrender and embrace my purpose, it allows me to be able to have a successful home-based business, become a speaker, to become a best-selling author, just finished my second book, and then turned around, and I'm a coach and also on radio now. And so it's so important.
No, go ahead. I'm really excited.
It's been absolutely an amazing journey. It wasn't easy, but because being consistent and knowing that my faith, where my faith lies, it allows so many doors of opportunity to be able to open up. And it's my duty to be able to help others because I've been there, I had a walk, and I can imagine just how many more are going through.
That's really such an awesome point, because both of you ladies have all those different stories, but both of you ladies have really interesting stories about how you got into these areas of economical living from the perspective of being prepared for the worst or the just in case, because we are a society of consumers. That everywhere you turn around is take, get, buy, and so I love what you said about when you get that kick in the pants from corporate America, because my story certainly is very similar. You have to either lose or not survive, or you have to kind of start with what you have in your hand and make it work. And I love the fact that you ladies are in this space. Sarah, talk with us a little bit about that, though, because what you do really is basic survival skills. Talk with us about that and all the things that you do in that space.
Okay, so, as you know, in the basic survival realm, I like to look at nature and think about, you know, if we had to rely more on our nature and our local resources, what would we have available to us? So food is traveling miles and miles and miles nowadays to reach our table. So I'm really a big proponent of farmers markets, getting to know who is growing your food right outside of your city. A big example of this is, you know, in 1886, when the San Francisco earthquake happened, half of their cattle population died. So you're not thinking cattle in big city, you know, you're not connecting those pieces anymore. But they did back then. They knew right where their meat was coming from. They knew it was right outside of their city, and they had a loss on that fact. But now our food supply is traveling so far, and, you know, things are just so global resources that if you don't know what's available locally and you're not supporting these local farmers and you're not aware of what you could eat, then when something happens, your family is going to go hungry. And so I really don't want to see that happen. I want to see us be able to overcome as a country. I want to see us be able to handle these, you know, challenges that will face us one day with a little bit more grace instead of it going to kind of the chaos situation that we've all seen on TV. And I don't think there needs to be a need to do that. So if we all took some basic steps, when you go to the store and you buy some canned corn, you buy a few extra cans and you have them in your cupboard, you know, and that way, if something were to happen, even if it's just a problem in your life, a disaster in your life, like Vanessa faced, you have some of those resources on the back burner that you can tap into until you can figure out your plan B. And Vanessa, I love your story. I mean, I was just so enthralled with it on your website. And it really shows the, you know, kind of disasters that we can hit personally, that we can prepare for and be ready for. And that way, if we're faced with those things, God forbid, we're ready to not only keep our family fed, but also enact our plan B in a way that makes it much more gentle for us to go through that process instead of so shockingly.
Thank you so much. Such a phenomenal point. And Vanessa, you are almost like the poster child for a lot of the things and overcoming a lot of these things that Sarah brings to the forefront. Tell us a little bit about your story and just some experiences that you had while you were on your journey to your upswing.
Wow. When my journey was not easy. I come from a place of, I'm used to just not support from my family, and my circle is so small as what we call friends. And so I was so used to that anyway, right? But I'm always there for somebody else. But I've learned a lot in the journey of now I'm in a different world. I'm in a whole different world where some may understand, some may question it, and some people just don't care flat out, right? And so just going down this journey, I've learned so much about people that's so connected to me in some type of way, shape, form, or fashion. And I had to learn that you need to do it anyway. You have to remember that if you made it through all the other things that they didn't support you in, why can't you not make it in this new generation of technology world as being an entrepreneur, right? And so I had to accept the fact that I'm going to have to walk this walk alone. It's going to be lonely. It's going to seem dark. It's going to seem like it's never going to end. I'm never going to see the light of day. But if you continue to walk what you believe can be possible, you just have to stay laser focused. And that's something that I had to learn. And it was painful. It was really, really painful because it was like, dang, I've been there for everybody else. And I'm darn near lost everything. When I say everything, now, remind you, I worked in corporate America for 20 years. How can I not find a job? I got so much experience. How can I not, you know? And so for them not to support me, that was like a dagger in a way that was so painful, because not only did you not support me, it was like I still have these kids I need to feed. How am I going to put food on the table? It was like I was starting all over again, and it was the hardest way because there was no consistent paycheck that was coming in. I built my business off of unemployment. That's unheard of. But yeah, I knew that it was possible.
it's funny how everybody looks at you like you're crazy for walking your path that you can see is right in front of you. And you want to go that path, and they're like, you know, you're nuts. You're just crazy for doing this. I can't believe you're thinking of even doing this. And now that you've made it, how many people want to jump on your bandwagon?
Come on, say it again. That is so true.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
And, you know, it's one of those things where everyone always wants to be on the winning team. And my personal belief, and I know that we're talking about economical living, but my personal belief is that sometimes these things happen to really reveal who we are as people, but also to shake us out of that corporate rut. Shake you out of that, because you're so much more than that, and I'm saying that from an individualistic standpoint. But again, it goes right back to what Sarah was saying. You have to think about. We all have to think about how do we maintain for some of those most basic needs. And so, Vanessa, like you said, you know, sometimes it is just us. Sometimes it is. You know, when you're the strong one, when you're the pillar. Well, what happens when the pillar gets cracked or the pillar gets broken? You know, lots of times the house falls. And so, but those of us that very often live as pillars, it's difficult for us to see ourselves that way because we're okay. We have things together. And so why shouldn't we help these other folks? But what happens is they then in turn say, well, why shouldn't she help me? You know, she has all of these things. And so I think that a lot of, especially women, but a lot of people, I think, in general, that tend to be like us, people that are survival-focused, people that are purpose-driven, we tend to have a lot of leeches, you know, a lot of things that just kind of attach themselves to us, and they get whatever they can get until they can't get anymore. And so sometimes I believe that, you know, God just does not want everyone to benefit off of whatever it is that he has for us. And so he starts to sever those ties where we make new friends, we connect with new people, like Sarah mentioned, connecting with the farmer in the next town over or even in the same city, so that heaven forbid something happens where you don't have food. Now you have a resource that you can go to where you can feed your family if, for example, you are on unemployment and so you don't have enough money to do some of the things that you've done before. Have you guys felt that? I mean, what do you think about that in terms of your experience? Have you really felt that it's been that way and you've been able to build and foster new relationships?
Yes, absolutely. One of the most incredible things about, you know, I was never going to publish my first book. It was just a project that I worked on. It was just a story that I created. And I was like, who would want to read my story? You know, it's just silly. And my mom encouraged me, you know, to step off and do that, put myself out in the world. But one of the most incredible things that has come from this journey is being able to connect with so many amazing people around the globe that see that vision, that understand that vision, that want to support you on that vision. And like Vanessa says, it's more outside of your local, what you would consider your friends and family. It's these incredible people that you get to meet, you know, around the world that are like, yeah, go for it. We all hear you and we're all walking that same road. You know, in my opinion, God never said it was going to be easy. He just said it would be worth it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Powerful. You know, when we start to think about rewards, I know when I was in college, one thing that we studied was the pleasure pain principle, where people will do things until they reach a certain level of pain. Like, as long as it's pleasurable, they'll continue to seek it and they'll continue to pursue it. And I think that when we look at walking into our purpose, it's going to get painful and painful and painful and painful. But the great thing about it is, like you said, at the other end, though, it's almost euphoric. Because my story, for example, is very similar to Vanessa's in the sense that I worked as a federal defense attorney for about 12 years. And when I tell you, for all intents and purposes, I would say that I achieved a certain level of success, but I was never happy. I enjoyed my job, you know, certainly, but I always felt like, okay, there's something missing. But
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm like, it's something else that I should be doing. And,
yep.
But at the same time, again, single mother with kids to raise, and it's just like, well, whatever it is, it can wait. Until one day, you know, again, until just one day, that was just not an option. And so I had to prepare. I had to just go. I mean, there was no time to get a business plan done. There was no time to do a lot of these other things. And very much like both of you, I started to see certain people fall by the wayside because it was like, oh, well, like, you can't do anything for me. And so what I learned through this experience is that the right people will connect with you instantly. You will have that chemistry where you just know it's right. Whatever it is that you're doing with people, you just know it's right. And so I've seen that happen throughout my journey and a number of different ventures, even down to the radio show. I don't just haphazardly. My show is I think it's a great show, but I do it because I love it. I hope a lot of people listen to it. And we have a nice size following in the global market, but I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for the purpose that I know I'm supposed to be doing it for, and that's to give a platform for people that have something to say. And so the guests that are selected for this show are very much like you ladies, and they're people with a story to tell that they're not afraid to share, and also people with a message of you can do it too. If I can do it, you can do it. And I love the fact that both of you ladies have been unselfish with your stories, because they're not necessarily things that anyone would just talk about. And so, Vanessa, I want to start with you by asking, what is it that has given you the strength to really just come out and tell your story?
Oh, wow. More and more people would always say to me, Dang, where did you get these messages from? My brother used to always say that to me. Where did you get these messages from? I said, I don't know. Ask God. Take it up with him. And so I was at a lost place when I lost my brother. And so I couldn't put out motivational messages anymore. I just was like, there's no way. And so people will constantly keep asking me, like, dang, I miss your messages. And I was like, I just can't put it out there. And because, I mean, I wanted to be authentic. I wanted to be me. I don't need to be a copy and a paste from somebody else, right? And so as I was going through all these various things after just losing my job, losing my brother, and just hitting rock bottom, I had to understand that I need to sit still. I need to have people to be removed from me who's not – meaning in a positive direction or support me or what have you, I need to be separated from them. And so I will always ask God to reveal and remove who's not supposed to be attached to me and replace them with those people that's supposed to be connected with me. And as I was going through various journeys, more and more things were just being removed and replaced, but it was painful, right? Because this is new. Even though you've been on earth all these years, but the next elevation in your life requires separation from those that's not supposed to be with you, right? And so I have to go through those various things. And so as I was going through these things and there's emotion, it would just keep coming and keep coming. And I turned around and I said, okay, I'm ready. He said, you're sure? I'm ready. What do I need to do? So I'm listening to the things that I need to do. Sometimes we don't listen to the inner voice within ourselves. And the more I kept connecting with the inner voice, it just kept getting stronger, kept getting louder. And it was like, okay, I'm ready for you to move. So little by little, I kept putting out my messages again, but it came back more powerful than ever. And as I kept putting these messages out, I was like, okay, and more people just kept reaching out to me. And sometimes we don't think that people are listening or watching. They are. because now when I put more and more messages out there, it was like, you just don't know. I've been watching you all this time, and your message has really helped me to be able to do X or to be able to help me to grow beyond. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's how I knew that I was on that path of just growing. And so when we think we're going through various things, like I was laid off, I was not laid out. You know what I mean? Just because that door of corporate America closed, it was just time for that to close because I have a message. And so when we think that a mess in our life is nothing that nobody else needs to hear, it is. We have to go through that mess in our life to be able to share that message. Just like we have to go through the test in life so we can be able to have a testimony. So we have to take those hits to be able to help other people. And if we don't help other people by sharing our stories, then how would they ever know that it's possible for them to overcome the things that they're going through right now, or to be able to tell them that you are not alone in your journey. So that's how we are able to continue to grow. And that's how I was able to just say, you know what, Vanessa, share your message unapologetically, because your story is going to be able to help somebody else. So somebody's waiting for your story.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it. One
I love that too.
One key thing that you said that I think that a lot of times we miss, I know I missed it, so I'm sure that there may be some other people out there who missed it. You have to get to a place of peace. You have to get to a place of acceptance, and you have to get to a place where you're willing to do it all by yourself. Those three things, you have to get to that point. Because if you never get to the point of peace, then you won't ever get to the point where you can hear that inner voice that you mentioned.
Absolutely.
You can't. And so, Sarah, talk with us a little bit, too, about what is it that really makes you say, I am going to tell this story, and I am an advocate for connection, for change. What is it that keeps you going? What is it that makes you say, no matter what, I'm going to tell this story?
When I was writing my fictional novels, there's a lot of concepts in my book that I had to face as a Christian person. So, you know, you have your supplies, you have your family fed, and the next family comes up your driveway, and what are you going to do? Are you going to turn them away? Are you going to pull a gun? You know, what are you going to do in that circumstance to keep your family fed when as a Christian person, you've been taught to give, you've been taught to turn the other cheek, you've been taught to, you know, help others. So in that survival situation and in doing that soul searching while I was writing my fictional novels, it really struck me as, you know what, we don't have to come to this, no matter what faces humanity. We do not have to come to this. We can develop ways to protect our people and our communities, to keep them fed, to you know, lean on our brothers and sisters to make this work instead of turning against each other. So in writing my fictional novels, and my second one goes into a more government-based, where government's taking over and people are in camps because there's less land, and people want, and there's people without, you know, so what do we do in that great divide? And having to face these issues through writing my fictional novel and trying to present it in a way that would emotionally impact people so they would be considering the same things, it really made me go, you know what, no matter what, it doesn't matter if I'm not making any money doing this, it doesn't matter, you know, what comes, what people are going to say about me, what people are going to judge me on. I need to at least get this message out there that if we all took just these baby steps to be ready for these national disasters, these human-made disasters, these personal disasters, if we all just took baby steps to get there, we could lean on each other at that point instead of attacking each other. And, you know, with the world the way it is and there's so much hatred and everything going on, it's like, you know, we need to just slow down a little and realize that we're all brothers and sisters. We're all in this together, and we can all take care of each other if something were to happen, instead of, you know, this is mine, this is my own. And I can't do that. As a Christian person, I cannot face the facts of some of the issues that presented themselves through my book. So that's why I felt it was just so important to get my voice out there, to get people to start hearing, even though they don't want to listen to it. They want to worry about, you know, what cell phone they're getting next or what's going on next, you know, to think for a minute, hey, something could happen. And, you know, we all buy insurance because why? Because we know one day our house might burn down. We might lose all our stuff. We want to be protected. Well, when the House of America burns down, I would rather see us come together as one people being able to help each other and overcome rather than total chaos that, you know, nobody wants to face.
Thank you. I love it.
Oh, my goodness. You hit some points. You have my head over here spinning.
I know.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. One of the things, and I'm not going to take up too much of your time, Sarah, you hit on something saying you are Christian.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we as Christians love to do, we will say we are Christian and we're going to wait on God. Yeah. I'm going to just be still and wait on God. There's a thing that is said, and I'm not going to go so deep, but you can wait on God all you want to. You can sit and you can pray about it. But if you don't take action, then what are you doing? And one thing that you did, Sarah, you said, you know what, I'm a Christian. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to still take some action because he will meet you where you're at and he will just be able to take you to your destination if you allow him to. But he's waiting for you to move, and that's something that you did. You moved. You didn't just sit and just say, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to think it. You know what I mean? Move.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So don't pray on something if you're not willing to move. Because I remember when I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I just need you to move. I said, okay, I'm moving. He said, I need you to move a little bit more. So if you keep on moving, he's going to move right along with you. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
You're absolutely right because I want to make 2 points. But to your point, definitely when God gives you a vision, a passion, he'll make the provision. And I think a lot of times we do hold back because we say to ourselves, how am I going to do it? But we're quick to acknowledge, oh, you know, I got this vision from God or this dream, you know, whatever. We acknowledge where it comes from, but then we are a little less or a little more apprehensive about, well, how is it going to happen instead of just doing exactly what you're saying, Vanessa, just walk in it and it'll happen. But before I forget this, Sarah, tell us the name of your book, because I know that your book has a lot of great tools. You've mentioned so much, and I want for our listeners to be able to go and grab that so that they can use it as a reference point when they're looking at going through this process.
So my book, my first one is called Day After Disaster. It's the Changing Earth series, and then my second book is called Without Land, and that's the one where it's more camp-based. The first book, Day After Disaster, is about this woman's journey, and she is separated from her family when disaster strikes. She doesn't know if they've survived or not, and it's her journey to find her family and find out if they've made it. And so I wrote a lot of survival skills in there for all the readers so that they have specific takeaways that they can use and apply to their life. And then, you know, it's a lot about love and it's a lot about family as well. So, you know, it really hits people on all those points.
Mm.
So Day After Disaster.
Day After Disaster. So also tell our listeners where they can find out more about what you're doing and just keep up and keep current with the things that you're doing, Sarah.
Awesome. Well, I'm working on my third book right now, and everybody keeps nagging me to get it out faster than I can produce it. So you can find out all about me at my website at www.authorsarahfhathaway.com. It's www.SARAF, like Frank, Hathaway, HATHAWAY.com.
Awesome. Vanessa, tell us, I know we could probably talk for days, ladies.
I think so.
About everything with regard to economical living and survival. But Vanessa, I'll ask you, what are maybe three tips that you could give our listeners about being prepared? And if they're not prepared, what are some steps that they can take to kind of deal with that hand that they're dealt?
One, stop making excuses. Mm-hmm. Too many people are walking around with excusitis.
Yes.
I don't have. That's not possible. listen to other people, have them all in your ear, you know, stop all of that. Number two is to be able to take massive action, not next year, not when it's tax season, not when, you know what I mean? Take massive action now. You may not know it all, but take massive action. And number three, do it from a place of being a servant. You know, you may not know every single step to do, but do it from a place of serving others. So for perfect example, when I just wrote my second book, it's called Breaking a Cycle of Brokenness. And because I know there's so many people that's broken, I was bold, unapologetic, scared, and all to be able to self-publish my second book. And now people are like, really? You really well, really ready to share this message? What is my mess to share? Because somebody else could be able to benefit from it. You know what I mean? And because it started with a prayer that we, as Christians, we pray. And it was a prayer for my children. So if that prayer worked, why not do something with it? And that's how it turned into a book that people are requesting, that people are asking me to sign, that people want me to speak about. That, you know what I mean? So if you are willing, you take massive action, even if you don't know it all. And I didn't have a clue how to self-publish of anything.
Learn
I didn't know
as you
how
go.
To be. There you go. I didn't know how to be able to, you know, reach out to people to share my message and speak on platforms. I did not know, but I did not allow excuses to hold me back to be able to share. So you have to be willing to be uncomfortable in order for you to be in a position to grow. That's my tip.
Awesome. All certainly great tips. So tell us, where can we find your book?
My book, I am autographing. This is crazy. I am autographing my book on my website, which is inspiredbyvanessa.com/author. It's going to be up on Amazon probably today. It'll be up on Amazon as well. And so that's where you could be able to find my book, and you could also be able to find my Shift Your Mindset book is on Amazon as well. So inspiredbyvanessa.com is where you could be able to get your autographed copy of the book, Breaking the Cycle of Brokenness.
Awesome, ladies. Thank you so much for being a part of Real Perspectives and just sharing so much, so much. And I know that there's so much more to share. And listeners, I am encouraging you to go to both Vanessa and Sarah's website. These ladies have a wealth of knowledge, not just knowledge to share, but tools and practical tips that will help you improve your life. And so until next time, it's your girl, LaTanya Moore, with Real Perspectives, where we seek real people with real issues and real solutions from real perspectives.